only thing truckers are interested in is how fast their trucks will go and how far their CBs will reach.
Well, hello, my friends. Got a question for you. What do you think makes people tick? What do you think makes people do the things they do, good or bad? I've been around the world 2.5 times, intermingled with people of all nationalities, different languages. One thing I've learned in life is we're all the same. We all bleed red. We all cop a squat to good old number two, but we're all the same. We all have wants and needs, wishes and fears. We all have our own strengths and frailties. Good Lord made us, individuals. That's what makes us unique. We're all different. We're not cut from the same mold. But what really makes us tick? Our individual actions are often influenced by a complex interplay of factors, mental health, personal circumstances, things going on in your life, whatever stress issues you happen to be dealing with at the time. What I want to talk about today is a young man named Jamon S. Weaver. 5 years ago, February 15th, 2019, this young man was involved in a traffic accident, bad weather, snowy, icy conditions up on 70 west of Kansas City. He was actually driving with his girlfriend, tractor trailer. He's in the berth, sacked out. His girlfriend's driving. He hears her, scream. He jumps out of the bunk and hears a big old pileup. Turned out to be a 47 vehicle pileup. One person got killed, multiple injuries, going to the hospital. He hurries up and gets dressed, jumps out of his rig and goes and tries to assist all the other people that were involved in this accident, get them out of their cars, help them out, and so forth. He was interviewed by the local press about what had happened. Here's a video about it. See what you say.
Well, all over Northeast Kansas, this is video of some slide-offs happening in Overland Park, Kansas today. And we got this video from Kansas City, Kansas Chief of Police Terry Ziegler. But it's one crash in particular that's catching people's attention everywhere. It happened this afternoon in Oak Grove, Missouri, that's just east of Kansas City. The Missouri Highway Patrol says at least 15 cars were involved, if not more. One person did die and several others went to the hospital. Tonight, a man who was part of the crash talked to us just hours after it happened. In an interview you'll only see here, KSNT News reporter Kelly Saveri explains what exactly happened.
Jamon Weaver is a truck driver. He and his girlfriend were driving from Kentucky to Las Vegas when they found themselves in a pileup.
Oh my Lord. There's nothing we can do, man.
Can't believe it's happening. It's like I felt like I was in Final Destination. Like so many cars just like piling up, boom, boom. I'm just screaming like, oh Lord, everybody dead.
Weaver says he was fortunate to have been in such a big truck.
I seen the cars coming. What's going on in my head? I'm like, I ain't gonna die. But in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna die.
After an 18-wheeler crashed,
I immediately hopped out to check on everybody to make sure they were straight.
There's nothing you can do. It's best for you to stay in the truck, man.
He showed us where the truck was hit, and there was even some remains of the car that crashed into him.
I have never been in an event or a circumstance like this in my life. I never thought I'd actually be in some stuff like this. Actually.
And now he just says he's thankful to be alive. In Maple Hill, Kelly Saveri, KSNT News.
What you think about the video? To reiterate, we as human beings are all basically the same. Good Lord made us that way. Sure, we may have different skin color, different eye color, different hair color, but physically, we're all the same. The only thing that sets us apart is your personality traits and free will. What makes up your personality, I think, in a lot of ways, is the environment in which you grew up in. But that doesn't always hold true. How many people, that were born into poverty, but, grew up to be rich and famous, and lawyers and doctors. But on the flip side, you got the other ones that grew up a bad childhood, and they use that as a crutch or a reason not to do well in life. So I think it's whatever it is, it's something that each one of us has in us. That drive to want to do good or drive not to do good. So, but in this case here, this young man, 28 years old at the time, 5 years ago, in this traffic accident, was a good Samaritan, involved in this. What turned out to be 47 vehicles involved in this huge traffic accident, backup, pal up, jumped out, played Good Samaritan, saved a bunch of people, helped people out of their vehicles, you know. And then 5 years later, goes into a bank in Shelby Township, Michigan, robs the bank, goes outside, hops on a motorized scooter, rides the scooter down the street. Witnesses say they saw him jump into a tractor trailer, gray tractor, white trailer, and drive off.
We have an update. A man is dead following a nearly 8-hour standoff with police at a truck stop Friday. The Effingham County coroner identified 33-year-old Jamon Weaver from Georgia. Officials say Weaver robbed a bank in Michigan last week. Police tracked his semi-truck to the TA Travel Center in Effingham. Weaver then resisted arrest and barricaded himself in the truck. He was found dead hours later with a gunshot wound to the head. The coroner is waiting on a toxicology report.
The Shelby Township Police, there in Michigan, somehow found out that this driver, Jamon Weaver, was going to be at the TA truck stop in Effingham, Illinois. They called the local authorities in Effingham, Illinois, to alert them to keep an eye out for this gray tractor, white trailer. Following morning, 10:30 in the morning, they track down that trailer. They find that a driver approached him, and the officer tried to apprehend him, tased him. And the driver, Jamon Weaver, fought him off, jumped into the cab of his truck, and that started a standoff with local authorities that lasted for the next 8 hours. They called in the SWAT. They, you know, and fire, you know, they sealed off the area, made sure public wasn't going to be involved in any way. But anyway, they attempted to negotiate with Jamon Weaver for the next 8 hours to no avail, you know. Then finally, it's like radio silence, nothing happening. So they wait a little bit, you know, itched a little closer, nothing was going on, no reply, no nothing. So they entered the truck and they found Jamon Weaver in the sleeper berth, dead of an apparent gunshot wound to the head, self-inflicted. What makes people do things like this? You know, on one end, you're a Good Samaritan and you save people, and 5 years later, you know, you become a bank robber and a fugitive from society that has a standoff with the police, and you commit suicide shooting yourself in the head. You know, where are we headed? As a society, you know, what were the factors that made this seemingly nice guy, you know, do a dastardly deed like this? I don't know. It really makes me wonder. It should make you wonder as well. Was drugs involved? I don't know. But this just happened 3 days ago on a Friday, just past Friday. And then the latest report was that Saturday they did the autopsy. And now they won't know for the next 30 days till the tox reports come in, you know, whether he was on drugs or what was in his system and whatnot, but which makes me wonder. I mean, you go do a urinalysis test with the company you're with, they get the results back in 3 days. Why is it going to take the next 30 days? I don't know. I still kind of wonder if a witness saw him drive off in a gray tractor and a white trailer, why didn't the local cops chase him then? You know, depending on which way he went to get to Effingham, Illinois, which, oh, by the way, how'd they know that's where he was headed? I don't know. But no matter, there's three different ways he could have gone, traveled from Shelby Township, Michigan, which is 32 miles north of Detroit. Three possible ways he could have gone. He could have gone across 94 west, dropped down 57 south to Effingham, and that would be lots of miles in, you know, driving across Michigan, 478 miles going that way. That's a lot of miles still in the state of Michigan where they could have stopped him in the state of Michigan. Another possible way he could have went was down 75 south out of Detroit, through Toledo, down to Dayton, Ohio, and across 70 west to get to Effingham. That's a lot of Ohio's in Ohio, 482 miles total, point to point B, Shelby Township to get to Effingham. So why didn't they call Ohio cops and have them stop him? And the third possible way he could have went was taking 75 south to Toledo, across 24 towards Fort Wayne, Indiana, picked up 69 south to Indy, Indianapolis, and taking 70 west from there into Effingham. Once again, that's a lot of miles in Ohio and a lot of miles in Indiana. So when I read this report, I'm thinking, first of all, if they had witnesses that he jumped into a truck, gray truck, white trailer, why didn't they track him down or stop him somewhere along the way while he was still in the state of Michigan? But yet they called ahead to Effingham, Illinois. Why didn't they call the Ohio cops if they thought that he was going to be running through Ohio? Or why didn't they call the Indiana cops if he had gone that way? But for some reason, they knew that he was going to Effingham, Illinois, and called ahead to that police department who tracked him down. And another question I have about it that kind of raised an eyebrow is, if they surrounded him in his truck, had an 8-hour standoff, you know, negotiations, you know, obviously they were negotiating. It wasn't clear whether they were using a CB or a cell phone or whatnot to try to talk him down and negotiate with him. But through 8 hours of this standoff, and then he becomes not responsive. And then they check the truck only to find him dead of a apparent self-inflicted shot to the head, dead. You're telling me that nobody in the area in a standoff heard a gun going off? That I don't know, there's too many questions about this. But I'm gonna keep an eye on what's going on with this. Who knows? I don't know, but it makes you wonder. I mean, if he did do this, what factors led to him doing this? So I don't know, my friends. Life is strange. God bless him and his family. This young man was from Decatur, Georgia, had family in Georgia, in Pittsburgh, PA, and I guess they had to notify all the relatives first prior to releasing his name. His name was just released yesterday. So, all right, my friends, any questions, concerns, please leave me comments below. Other than that, please remember to like and subscribe. Take care for now. Bye-bye.
The only thing truckers are interested in is how fast their trucks will go and how far their CBs will reach.
I can't hardly wait till I'm a trucker.